all this is a chukum. Very good kachatay.
What did the Eibush to do? He then was mislabish that the chukim, all Torah mitzvahs, some of the mitzvahs, then became mislabish in reason. The etzem, the re, all mitzvahs are what? Chukim. The lemayla mitam v'das. Just like love, is emes of love is unconditional. It's infinite. It's lemayla, it's not based on logic. But imagine a fellow turns to his wife and says, you know what, Shprinza? I really love you unconditionally, without any boundary, without any limit. It's avva she'ein le'tluya b'davar. In other words, dahainu. Limbrois that I don't find you attractive. Limbrois that you're so dull and you're so ugly and you're so boring. And everything wrong with you. Afal pikein, I still love you. Avva she'ein le'tluya b'davar. Isn't his wife tickled to death? No? Why not? Huh? What's wrong with that? If he would say, I love you because you're so personable, you're effervescent, you're a bubbly personality, you're such a good conversationalist, you're so wise, you're so smart, you're so beautiful, you're so this, that, and the other thing, then maybe one day she'll become boring, right? Or she'll lose her beauty. And gemarnu, it's kaplich macher. But if it's einay tluya bedover, then it's everlasting, then it's seifel eskayim. So she should be so happy when the husband says, I see nothing in you. Nervos. So pshat is, that if a person truly loves another person, you're able, by definition, to see virtues and values that no one else could see. Like a lady went to a chasana with her husband, and she comes home like 2 hours late over the time agreed with the babysitter, and the mother apologizes profusely, says, I'm really sorry, the chasana started much later than I expected, I really apologize for coming home so late. And the babysitter turns to the mother and says, Madam, if these were my kids, I would also want to run away from home. I won't be rushing back home to these kids. Right? But the mother loves her kids. Why? Because it's her kids. So the mother is able to see virtues in the kids when everyone else, any other normal person, says these kids are barely presentable. And she thinks they're God's gift to the world, right? Because it's her kids. When you love someone, you see things, you know, that pshat in love is you take something which is lemayla mitam v'das, and you're neslabish and eventually in reason. Kapish, you understand here? Hello? So the Eibush took some of the mitzvahs and mislabish in reason. Why didn't he mislabish all in reason? Why was there a need, first of all, to mislabish mitzvahs in reason, in Tam V'das? Because if everything was chukim, if everything was a gedder of Ilul Savino Lachta Veitzim, right? Then you, as a human being, would not be an Oved Hashem. Because the definition of a person is a sikhli, a person who has a brain, a person has a heart. If you understand nothing, and you find no emotional affinity and connection to any mitzvah, so attacker, you do the mitzvah. It's all chukah hakakti gzeira gazarti in the chorushus laharaba, right? But you can't get your head into it. You can't get your heart invested in a mitzvah. So you're doing the mitzvah like a robot, like a machine. So you're not doing the mitzvah as a human being. So the Eibush said, nay, I'll take the mitzvahs, which are lemayla mitam v'das, and I'll find a reason to it. Then why can't all the mitzvahs be just have become mishpatim? All mitzvahs will be mishpatim, then you get the other problem, the other danger, that you'll do the mitzvah not because Hashem said so, because by dear seichel, come to yourself. Hello? So therefore, many mitzvahs had to remain as chukim. The only one who was able to be masig the tam of poraduma, so his chukim is not there, was Moshe. Why Moshe? The Rebbe says in numerous places, in Sichas and Maimorim, because Moshe was emes, was an Eved Hashem. Moshe was totally, by Moshe there was no chshash of Moshe Rabbeinu serving the Rabbeinu Shalom, right, with his own seichel. Moshe is bitl betachlus, min amayim ishisiyu. He's the idea of chokhmah, of koyachma, of primius atik. Moshe Rabbeinu, there's no I, there's no self, right? The mucker of all tzaras, of all evil, of all problems in the world, is the Anoichi Oimei Ben Hashem Lekeichem Lachem. The Anoichi, the I. The famous story. What?
What's the point of the man the reason?
What's the... Why did Moshe have to know the reason?
There is no reason.
No Rabbi Winner?
There's no reasons for anyone. You said there's no real reasons for anyone.
But the Rebbe explains elsewhere. Ask him a Mashpia.
Every mitzvah also has...
The Rebbe explains... The Rebbe says, okay, it's very complicated. The Rebbe says basically all chukim really are mishpatim, and all mishpatim are chukim. Yeah? You know what I'm saying? right? Everything has reasons, right? But for other people to get involved in the reason, you take away from their Kabbalah's all, their Pashtus. Okay? Moshe Rabbeinu was the only human being who that was irrelevant to. That the Chashash was irrelevant to. You got it? In the story told, a fellow once wrote a letter to the Rebbe. And I can't remember the exact lashon, but the letter went something like this. Dear Rebbe, I am terribly depressed, sad, morose, melancholy. I get up in the morning, I don't know why I'm living. I come to shul, I find it difficult to daven. I observe mitzvahs, I find no spiritual sipuk. I don't know what's coming, I don't know what's going to happen with me. I desperately need the Rebbe's help. And he signed his name. How did the Rebbe answer this guy? He didn't write one word. All the Rebbe did was take a pen and he circled the first word in every sentence of the guy's letter. And every word started with the same word, I. The source of all tzaras in the world is the I. Chukas is all about, the ois, breaking yourself, self-effacement. And the Eibush will help us soon see the Esa for all of the problems, the trials, the tribulations of our generation, right, is to get rid of the I and to attach yourself to... There was a Lord Jacobowitz, the chief rabbi, once spoke in my shul in Manchester. He said a good word. A week before he died, he was addressing the House of Lords somewhere in England, your territory, down south somewhere. And he said they were debating on a law in the House of Lords about divorce. They gave a speech. I saw the speech. Gorgeous speech. So Moshe Gemara says, the Gemara says when a relationship severed, when a couple gets divorced, afilu mizbeach meir alav demois, even the altar in Yerushalayim cries, sheds a tear. Why epis the mizbeach dafka? Simple pshat, because Adam mimakam kaparosti niver. Adam and Chava were created from the makam mizbeach. A deeper pshat is, because what do you do in a mizbeach? You offer karbonos. And if real people can't get their lives together, there's no relationship, is the charaya that was? Someone here has not made the necessary sacrifice. And he said a good word there. He said it in English, but it's a beautiful word. If you speak about a person who's a lofty, elevated, noble, spiritual type of person, you call him a man of the neshama, right? A spiritual person, a man of the spirit. What's the English word for neshama? A nefesh? Soul. If a guy is a gross, coarse, crude, oisvarf, a rogue, a scoundrel, a grabyum, right? You call him what? An amoritz. How do you call an amoritz? A man of the soil. What's the difference between soul and soil?
I and
an O.
And a U.
Right? In soil, you have what? I. In soul, you have you. If you want to be a man of the soul, you got to forget about the I and concentrate on the you. B'chaim, b'chaim.
airport.
What? I said before that we're living in the most difficult tkufa. We felt like a difficult tkufa. The gashmius, baruchnius. Me'idach, I was telling us with Rabbi Groner, Mr. Shabbos. I told him the story of there was a very wealthy man, very big chassid. He had one chassarim. He had this palatial mansion for a house. It was gorgeous with objects of art and a thick plush carpet. Wonderful furniture. Mamash, posh, plush, extravagant. And when the Rebbe, and he was a Chernobyl chassid, when a Malka Chernobyl would come to his house with all his chassidim and his entourage, Russian roads weren't so ay-ay-ay. He used to go through the mud, you know? And he used to trample in the house all the mud, and he'd get all the fancy furniture and the thick plush carpets, get it all ruined and dirty. So this chassid would never allow the Rebbe with his chevra to go and to make the, to into the room to make it dirty. So what happened? One day a Malka Chernobyl came for a visit, and he only himself, obviously the chassid welcomed Ramal Khoshnabla into the house. And in the course, as they were about to leave, Ramal Khosh said, I want to tell you a story. There was once a guy who was a rogue, an oysvar, a good for nothing, mamish, lowest of low, an incredible bum, mamish. And this guy, the cold over officer, never was involved in Yiddishkeit, mitzvahs, tayr, gunish. One day he was traveling, a wealthy guy, he was traveling with his carriage, 8 white stallions, beautiful white horses. You know the story? And they're going on the way, and they see this poor Nebuch, this poor family, had a little carriage, a rickety carriage, and a horse that looked like a dying of starvation, and accidentally it toppled over and it fell into the mud, and this husband and wife and their 7 kids are about to be, you know, sinking in the quicksand. So Nimkur Rachma, they had a bit of Rachmanis, so he stopped his carriage, they ate horses, and he went over. And single-handedly he schlepped out the husband, and they schlepped out the wife, and they schlepped out the 7 kids. And that wasn't enough. They schlepped out the horse and the wagon. Everything was wonderful. He thanked him profusely, and he went on his merry way. Years later, the wealthy guy, the Oisvarf, dies. They put him in a box, put him to the cemetery, 6 feet under, kicking up the daisies. The Vaila, his neshama, goes, Lamaila, the peasant Shalmaila. And there's a big scales up there, and on one side, all of this guy's Averis. Man, there's a whole lifetime of Averis are on the scales, and the other side of the scales is Mamish Lady. Then one of the Sanegar suddenly remembered that the guy was Matzel Nefesh Achas Yisrael. He saved his family. They put the husband, they put the wife, they put the 7 children on the scales, but they were little skinny little people. wasn't good enough to tip the balance. But the Sanhedrin says, but not only did he save the family, he saved the Vogin and he saved the ferret also. So they put the ferret, they put the wagon also on the scales, but the Vaitzer wasn't enough. Then the Sanhedrin said, but when he did the mitzvah of saving the family, he was willing to get full of mud. He was mamish up to his ankle, mamish full of mud, of all the blood. You have to reckon that into the cheshbon also. They took all the mud, all the blood, and also put it on top. Mud is very, very heavy, and that tipped the balance in his favor. And the Moskvich Noble told the story, and he wished him well, and he went on his way. And the fellow suddenly realized that he was a Gilgul of that Russia, and that what gave him any pischon peh, the fact that there's a lot of blood. And when he heard that, he said to himself, you know what, guys? From now on, whenever the Rebbe comes, Sidim are taki invited to my living room, to my dining room, and the more blotter that they bring, the more the shen and the sin will give. What's the moral of the story? We're a generation was victim blotter. We're not very smart, we're not very feeling, we have hearts of stone. But the maila, our maila, which no other generation has, is takam alikdin the blotter. Right? But the Eivish, in the Cheshbon, in the cosmic way of reckoning things, the fact that we're in blotter, the fact that we're so lowly, the fact that we don't understand, the fact that we don't feel, that we're in the dark, when Afal became, we have a munip shuta. You have shluchim today, right? In Amal, there were chsidim, there were oivdim, there were maskilim, people were holy people. But the fact today, we're a generation of Mesiras Nefesh. You have shluchim today, you have children. 10-year-old children they send away from home. And the Mesiras Nefesh, you go around the world. The Mesiras Nefesh of the shluchim of the Dor HaShvi'i is awesome, is incredible. So we're a generation of Mesiras Nefesh. In other words, it says in Sforim, Maral, that before Mashiach, Yidin will fall into the 50th gate, which is the Nun Shari Tumah. And the Zel Umazeh of the Nun Shari Tumah is the 50th Shara of Kedusha, and the 50th Shara of Kedusha is the Inyan of Emunah. I think I mentioned Friday night. There was the story of Habakkuk. Hello? Remember Habakkuk? I told you this thing. You weren't there. Habakkuk, there was a lady. The Isha Achas of the Anavim. And for many years she was barren. She had no children. And she went to the Novi, and the Novi gave a bracha, and she had a child. And she named the child Habakkuk because the prophet had promised her Lashon Haba, next year this time Atri Vekesben, you'll be holding the child. And she had a baby, wonderful, all's getting fine. Vahiyah Yoim, she comes home and the baby is dead. Died. So what would a normal person do if their baby died? Rahmanul Islam, you'd call the doctor, you'd call the morgue, the undertaker, the police, Hatzalah, the ambulance. Who does she call? The Novi. Close. Right, it's called the Navi. And the Navi puts piv al piv, etc., etc. There's Tchias HaMesim. And this kid grows up to be the Navi Habakkuk. What is Habakkuk famous for? What did he do for a living? What's he like? What's his... There's a billion Navim. What's his line? What's the famous line of Habakkuk? Bo Habakkuk v'midle malachas shenemar v'tzadik v'menoseich. So the Sforim say Habakkuk is talking to our generation. We're the generation that was almost barren. We're the generation that almost died. We're a generation that 6 million Jews went up in smoke. A generation that suffered, right? What is the mile of our, as Habakkuk in his own private life was? How was there a Tchias HaMesim? Right? And how will we see Tchias? Remember, Mr. Shabbos, I said by the Fabrengen, Puy da Hashem, Nefesh, Avod, Zavlayesh, Bukal, Achoyis, and Boy, is Begimatu, Yaborach, Ato, Avay, and Mechay, HaMesim. Doik, Petishka. We're a generation that literally will go and have gone, undergone Tchias HaMesim. In what schus is there Tchias HaMesim? Hello? Emunah. Emunah is the antidote to all. The tzaddik b'emunah seyichid. Therefore, not only despite the fact that's malikdin blotter, but because malikdin blotter, and we have no other milus other than emunah, other than pshitus, and that's the nesoyin of our generation, we're able to achieve and affect the heavens as no other generation did. The raya is that all the previous generations, with all the great chassidim and all the great maskilim and all the great oivdim, they didn't bring Mashiach. And the Dor HaShvi'i, the malikdin dreir, the malikdin blotter, we have a mulu pshuta, we will bring Mashiach. So we have a maila of no other generation. It reminds me of the story, the famous story I always say on Purim, every year Purim. To understand Purim, they bring a maisa. There once was a fellow who was a rogue, the lowest of low, the biggest oisvarf in all of Poland. Ashegis, an oismamik. And this guy suddenly found out that there was one zoyna in the other end of Poland who he had never met. She charged 500 ruble. He gathered the 500 ruble. He started journeying from one end of Poland to the other. The long journey of a few days. He ended up spending one night in a shtetl, in a village somewhere, a farm village. And he realized the Eden there are kvetching, they're cresting, they're complaining, they're crying. What's the problem here? Why is everyone so long-faced? So they tell them that the poorest, the rich Polish nobleman, they owe him money for rent. For the stores and the business, everything was owned by the nobleman. And they couldn't afford to come up with the rent. Asher Alkin, the poorest, gave him a deadline of tomorrow. If they don't pay the rent, he's expelling everyone off his land. How much is outstanding? How much do you owe the poorest? 500 rubles. So, you know the story? Makes sense. So, let's put down such a topic. So what happened? The guy without batting an eyelash, right? He goes to the poritz without any hesitancy. He gives the poritz the 500 rubles. They're dancing in the streets. And he never goes home to his town. And he didn't fulfill, he curbed his own lust, his own passion, his own yetzorah to help other yid who he never saw before. At that very moment in Shemayim, there was Mamre Shamash. It's Gevalt. Such Neila, a good person does a mitzvah, chesed, can verstehen. But the guy is such a scoundrel, such an oisvor, such a good for nothing. And Afal Pikein is able to mamish begaber yitzri. So a group of malachim said, from now on, whatever this guy will ask, whatever he desires, his wish is our command. The Shemayim will give him anything he wants. Another group of angels said to the other group, hold it, cool it, don't jump to conclusions. The guy is such a rogue, you know what he could ask for? And that's dangerous. So they thought out the issue in Shemayim and they came to a compromise. They decided, we're going to grant him the koyach, that whatever he asks, whatever his mispalel, his wish will always be fulfilled. But on the other hand, he's going to turn into an alcoholic, into a drunkard. And he's not going to be aware, he's not going to be cognizant that he possesses this mystical, magical power. So Yitaka became a shikr. And he used to dreizach, hang out in the pubs, and roll over in his vomit in the gutters of the streets of Poland. Until one day there was a terrible decree against the Gezeirah al-Mishamayim, against the Eden in Poland. And all the tzaddikim tried to mevatel the Eden, Gunish didn't help. So the Baal Shem Tov sent two of his talmidim to locate the scoundrel, the shikr, this drunkard. Wake him up, give him a cold shower, give him some black coffee, get him to daven. Kachave, he davened, and the Eden was saved. Yeah? So Sif Tzadik heard the story from his Eidim, Chudush Arim, and he said, that's Purim. Why is that Purim? Because Purim, that's Agiv Aldigiyonti, Kol HaPoishet Yad No Yistim Loi, but Teimer HaMelech Le'Esther Mishta Ayai, Ma She'lo Sech V'in Osin Loch, Ma Bakash HaSeich V'Zayos. There's such incredible spiritual energy. The heavens open on Purim. Yom Kippur is Yom Kippurim, right? But it's such power that who knows what every scoundrel, every lunatic on the street is going to use out to tap into the energy of Purim. Who knows what they'll ask for? So you know what the Abish said? Purim, make yourself Meshigah. Dress with masks. Act like a lunatic. Go worry about what Prince Yenta sent you for Shalach Manas, and this one sent you this, and this one sent you that, and this mashka, that mashka. Act like a total fool, right? And therefore the average 99% of people won't be able to misuse the power which is unleashed on Purim. Right? The story told Grad of the Sifset of the Smichas Chachonim, the Rav in Amsterdam, the Holy Cats. He lived in Amsterdam. You ever been to Amsterdam? The city works on dikes, like dams. And for whatever reason, the water level had risen dramatically and it was threatening to flood the entire city, to kill everybody. So the king of Netherlands, right, he made a decree that everyone got to go to their respective houses of worship and to pray on this day, to fast, Sakva Efer, to pray, to ask heaven to avert a decree. Punkte worked out that the day that the water level was supposed to flood the whole city happened to have been Purim. So the king sent his emissaries to all the churches, the havdals, to all the shuls, to see if his wish is being fulfilled. He goes into the church, they're sitting there, Hail Mary, and whatever, they're fasting, and he comes to the shul, instead of fasting, instead of whatever, it's Purim, right? So the Rav, the Philly has a great makubul. Forget about the king, forget about the Zayin, the Purim, no fasting, no tanesim, no. Bring out the mashke, they brought out not bottles, crates, cases of mashke. The king's guys come in to the shul, he thinks everyone's sitting there, this guy's under the table, this guy's over the table, this guy's making a kula, this guy's dancing, this guy's in shikr, this guy's brechasir. The place is on wheels. He comes back to the palace and reports basutsa. Then Vaila, the water level went down, and the people were safe. The next day, the king knew that Aratoli Katz, Tzvilchon, was a chagun, a tzaddik, and a kodesh, a good vakubul. He knew that he must have had a hand in this. But he was shocked that the Jews were drinking and dancing and hulian. So he called him to the palace, and he says, Rebbe, tell me, Pshat, what were you doing yesterday? So he said, it's a pasuk in the Megillah. It says, Vashia kados, ain't oinus. If the drinking is properly, nothing bad happens to us. Cain, Yisra, Melech, Alkol, Rabbeisai, Lassus, Girtsai, Nishvish. Yeah? That's Purim. I got news for you. We're living in a generation of Purim. Ain't one big Purim. Masks, Haster, Haster, Mamish, the end of the line. Odor is furthest from Nisan, Nisei Nisan, Shema Vaya Kipshuta, Yisbuk Shabayim Vesagorit. Odor, Purim. Why did Haman relax on, rejoice on Purim? When he made the Geirul, and the Geirul fell on Purim. Yeah? Why did Haman rejoice? Because Odor is the month that Moshe died. Hello? Adar is the month that Moshe died. What does the Gemara say? Vayter v'lehaviyada. But Haman didn't know that what? That Moshe was also born on Purim. Yeah. So everyone, the Velt asked the Shaila, big deal. So Moshe was born on Zayin Adar and Moshe died on Zayin Adar. Yes. But what's the Simcha? But he died on Zayin Adar. So why at the end of the day is Zayin Adar? Adar, the Rebbe says, Achoydish Nepach. The whole month is Nishba from the fact of Zayin Adar, right? Why is the whole month a happy month? Why doesn't the death of Moshe cancel out the birth of Moshe? So why is Adar happy? You understand the Shaila? Say all the Mepharshim, simple pshat. It's not pshat that Moshe Rabbeinu was born on Zayin Adar, and that 120 years later, on that very same day, Moshe Rabbeinu died. The pshat is when they thought, when Haman thought that Moshe Rabbeinu died, he was born. That's the pshat. You know the story, the famous story, Greinim. Greinim told the Rebbe Rashab, a very famous story, that the Kozhin, the Magid, at the end of his life, he reached the Madreg, he said, Echfil Nishkan Guf. There's no more physical, no more mundane, no more physicality. So his son, Ramayshala, he was a very sick man, he was like out of the world, he was totally spaced out at the end of his life. His son, Ramayshala, went, and he went to his father, and he said, Echfil Ya, Echfil Guf. So the Kozhin, the Magid says, Adzutaps mit Guf, feels Guf. If you use fleshiga oigin, right? If you use a kneamid, a measurement of something physical and tangible, you feel something physical and tangible. If you use something ruchni, it's a higher perspective. The Gemara famously says, the Fasholcham, Malchus, Harisha, the Romans sent a delegation to find the Kvura of Moshe. They couldn't find it. Ha'imdim l'mato, nidme lehem shulamayla. Ha'imdim l'mayla, nidme shulamato. The Pshat is famous. Ha'imdim l'mato, as the Lixton Dreher, if you're a mundane, ordinary, limited person of limited perspective, Nidbal Em Shulamayla, you think, where'd Moshe Rabbeinu go? That Moshe Rabbeinu went to heaven. He's not here anymore. But if you're looking from a higher, deeper, more profound perspective, the Tapsnishmit and Guv, right? Nidbal Em Shulamayla, you hear him, you feel Moshe Rabbeinu here with you at all the time. Depends on your perspective. So our generation doesn't see the purpose of our generation is to see, and seeing is believing. If you really believe, you could see that which you can't see with your naked eye. What? You hear what I'm saying? That's why, by the way, the 12 months of the year, everybody knows, the 12 months of the year correspond to the 12 Shvatim and the 12 different Sirufi Shem Havaya. We all know that, yeah? Who is the Shevet who corresponds to Tammuz? Huh? Zvulun? Zvulun is Sivan. Yehuda is Nissan. Yisbuch HaShemayim V'Sogel Oretz. Shem Havaya Kibshuti. Yosef?
Keep on guessing.
Huh? What'd you say? Someone said something there. Reuven. The simple way, there's various ways of doing it, but the simple way to remember, you want to remember? The reason. You know why? They have the ability to what? To weaken the power of heaven. In fact, the interesting thing is that the same Rav Chanina in Chulin is the same Rav Chanina from the Gemara in Shabbos Kuf Nun Vav, who holds that Yesh Mazel Yisrael. He believes in Mazel, that there is powers, yes? And you can be on the Mazel Madim, Yesh Mazel Mashir, Mazel Machim, unlike Rav Yochanan in the Gemara and Rav and the other, yeah? He believes in Mazel. So why is he not scared of this woman's, you know, hex, her kishuv? You know what the Gemara answers? Shiny Rav Chanina did not fish chusik. Literally it means Rav Chanina is different, he had great chusik. Deeper sense, nofish schusay is chusay, it's chusay, it says from the word zachus. He had a behirus, he had a clarity of vision. If you see the world as it is in reality, you don't have to be scared of any kishuv, of any power. Amalek, for example, the Gemara says Amalek u'machashim, the Rebbe brings it in Zichah. The power of Amalek was kishuv. Yeah? But the whole power of Amalek is mitachas ha-shamayim. In ultimate reality, Amalek doesn't exist. The whole metzias of Amalek is in this world. I think I told you Friday night, there's a word from the Baal Shem Tov. Kihine ayvecha Hashem, kihine ayvecha yevedu. If a person faces obstacles, difficulties, adversities, and he realizes that all these adversities are just a nisayon from the Rabbeinu Shlel, that gufa, that hine ayvecha Hashem, that you have enemies, right? Obstacles. But you realize, who gave me these obstacles? Who gave me these difficulties? Who gave me these trials and tribulations? The Rabbeinu Shlel. That itself gets rid of them. If a person has full steam ahead and realizes that only mitachas Hashemesh there are these obstacles, but lemailim and Hashemesh they don't exist. The emes is einoy bilvadi, right? There's nothing but the Rabbeinu Shlel. Afilu bechaloli shalaylum. So what am I scared about here? I go full steam ahead. The various obstacles, as you go full steam ahead, they disappear. What does it depend on? Says the Gemara. Shiny Rav Chanina did not fish schusay. A person needs a behirus, a clarity, not to have ambiguity and darkness. A person has to see the world clear. What is the month of Tammuz? How we overcome Esav? The Chol Zeinen Shovali, right? When he eats, why? Because who is the Shevet of the month of Tammuz? You told me, Reuven. What does Reuven mean? Why does Leah call her firstborn Reuven? What's the root word of Reuven? Ah, Reuven, Re'iyah, no? The Avoida, every month, a month in Hebrew is called a Chodesh, right? Something new. Every month has a different flavor. Every month has a different nuance. Every month has a different mandate, a different responsibility. What's the Avoida? Tishrei and Av, it says in Tishrei Arizal, Tammuz and Av are the two eyes, the right eye and the left eye. The Eini, Eini, Yardus, Moyim, Kirachak, Imenu, Menachem, Eishav, Nafshi. What's the Avoida of the Tikkun of Tammuz? An Avoida in Re'iyah. To look at the world, to look at yourself, to look at reality with different eyes. The Chassidus Shavart, someone once said, Kol Chamira, you know when you burn the Chametz, or you Mavatel the Chametz, yeah? Kol Chamira v'chamiyah di'ikr b'shusay. If there's Chametz or Sa'ur in Oymki HaNefesh, where does the Chametz come from? The Chazisay u'daloy Chazisay. As Mazet was betarnished, and you don't see what you need to see. All evil in the world, this is Suri Aveira, comes from the eyes. Right? Ay hazoina hi ba'inai. Al eima derech. The Beis Yisrael once told the Bacher, he wanted to go home, he said, going home to your parents for Shabbos, going into Hachamer Kazit, is could take away 6 months of Avoid in Yeshiva. Right? Ay hazoina hi ba'inai. But there's also an Avoid of Deloichaz, you say, that you don't see what you need to see. A Bacher has to have a clarity when it comes to whatever. To see the Einoid Milvadli, and to see that when you face inevitably every human being, the only people in the world who don't have problems, you know where they are? In a cemetery. Dead people have no problems. If you have problems, right? You're alive. And the more problems you have, Ashreinu Matei Chalkeinu. Because if it's like someone mugs you, you go in the street, someone mugs you. If somebody mugs you, take it as a compliment. Because if you look like a schnorrer, no one would bother mugging you. They only mug you because you look like you're a guy who would carry a lot of cash on you, you have a lot of potential there. Everybody, ask any person on a one-to-one, everyone will tell you, boy, do I got a big Yetzer Hara. I have a much bigger Yetzer Hara than the guy next to me. I have my unique, tailor-made Yetzer Hara, right or wrong? You think you have a big Yetzer Hara? Yeah? No? Not a vote. If you indeed have a big Yetzirah, it's only because there must be such potential in you that we got the Yetzirah decides to forget about everybody else in Melbourne and he's concentrating full time on you. It's like when you get an injection, yeah? Hello? When you get an injection and you know, the doctors, and you begin to feel bad, you get like a fever or whatever, that's a good sign. That means the injection is working. How does the injection work? You take a virus, they inject it in you, that gets the antibodies flowing. The fact that you have a bit of a minor reaction to the injection, it's good. The fact that you have to stumble, the fact that you have problems, is the charaya that you're alive. The fact that you have potential. Right? How to get it right is to look at yourself and to look at the world and look at society with the correct from the correct perspective. You got my picture? Yeah? What was that avodah? Going back to what we started, what was that avodah of Moshe? If you want to praise Moshe Rabbeinu, what was his perspective? What did he look at the world? Everything he sees is Dvar Hashem. When Moshe Rabbeinu leaves the world, what does the Torah praise him? Hello? Vayomas Shem Moshe, what? Eved Hashem. What's the message from Vayomas Shem Moshe, Eved Hashem? You can't get a bigger title, greater adjective, than for ye to be an Eved Hashem. Right? I'll give you an example. You remember the Gemara in Yuma? The Gemara says, Kama lecholi vele margish ha'incha de, no? The gavra derachmona saye shol ba'achas ba'olso lai David b'shtayim vele olso lai. What's pshat? People don't realize how much siyata d'shmaya you need to stay around, to hang in there. Because shol ha'melech committed one measly little insy weensy teensy little avera. Shmuel says, Kikor Hashem es Malchuscha, you're a goner, you're finished, no one know you anymore. David HaMelech, real big, heavy Averis, murder, adultery, mamish, from the three cardinal sins, the Eibishter forgives him. Where's the Yashir? Where's the fairness? You know what the answer is? Poshut. If you sin, I think I told you this already, if you sin, it's initially Geferlich. I mean, he's Geferlich. But it's human. It's, you know, I always say sin is to the soul what the common cold is to the body. Sooner or later you catch it. Right? The only people in this world that I know are infallible is the Pope in Rome and the husband of old maids. Right? The husband of old maids. They're always infallible. They never do anything wrong. Right? But amongst ordinary people, we're human. So the Eibishter forgives. Well, what's the matter? You brush yourself off. Look at Veit. The Rebbe Shita was very, very strong. If you messed up, right, don't look back. You know what happened to Lot's wife when she looked back? Wasn't good. Wasn't a pretty sight, right? You sin, make it weiter. The Rebbe Shita, remember this to the Sikha of the Rebbe's. I think it's not just another Sikha of the Rebbe. It's one of these Sikhas that sort of like capture the flavor of the whole Shita of the Rebbe. Remember the Sikha, I can't remember, with Chelek something or other. Chelek Tazayin.